If you turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the book of Proverbs and the chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, I draw your attention to the verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And it is that expression particularly, every good path. You can underline that this morning. I'll come back to that phrase in a moment. I will take you to other proverbs. But first of all, just let me explain what it is that I want to do this morning. I'm going to be a wee bit different today. I'm not going to expound one text as I normally do, but I want to give you a number of texts, a number of proverbs. So this morning I really want to leave with you some wise words of counsel from the book of Proverbs. You might compare it this morning to number of pearls or jewels on a string, all tied together. That's what we're going to do. We have several proverbs. We're going to tie them together, collected from different parts of Proverbs and put, as it were, on a little chain for you to bind around your neck. And Proverbs is ideal for that. Obviously, the jewels must have some similarity if they're on a chain. They have to match. So we'll pick matching jewels. There are scores and scores of jewels and pearls in this book, and we have to make a necklace with a handful of matching pearls that have some symmetry, some matching qualities that make them just look right on a chain that have similarities. Similar in colour and size to make the necklace pretty. Proverbs is ideal for that, for making these wonderful necklaces put around your neck. Proverbs is of that nature. You can collect matching pearls and tie them together for your life. Now, the metaphor of a necklace with pearls and jewels upon them is not my imagination. It's a biblical metaphor. In fact, it's a metaphor that's found in this book itself. We read, for example, in chapter 6, where the wise man, who is a father here, he says, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them around thy neck." Make a necklace of them. So you're carrying it all the time. You don't forget. Very important through life that you're wearing these necklaces, binding the word of God about you. And then Proverbs 3, verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck." And we read in Proverbs chapter 1, when we read this chapter, we said, "There shall be grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." That's what Proverbs is meant to be. Different chains about your neck. So don't think it's, oh, the preacher's very imaginative this morning, thinking about a chain and a necklace and tying it around your neck. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. You're to be adorned with the word of God, adorning your life, adorning your mind and your heart. And that chain that I want to leave with you today is the chain of these words in chapter 2, verse 9. Every good path. That's a chain. Every good path. And there are plenty of pearls to put on that chain. Now this expression, every good path, that implies that there are many paths through life. Many paths. Now we're not talking about the narrow way and the broad way. We're not talking about the paths on the vertical. The paths on the vertical are only two. The narrow way that leads to life, that's Christ. And the other way, which is the broad way, and everybody's on it, leading to destruction, And everybody on the broad road leading to destruction has to get off it and has to get to Christ and has to get in the narrow way, the one way, through Christ unto God. But we're not talking about paths this morning on the vertical, upward or downward. We're talking about the paths of life on the horizontal. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Multitudes. It's easy to get lost. And we want to be on every good path and all these paths of life that we are on. So understand what we're talking about. We're not talking about salvation. Salvation is only on the one path through faith in Jesus Christ. But as Christians, through life, we have many choices to make, many ways to go, many tracks to tread, many avenues to go down. Every day we're on so many different ways. And life's like that. It's just traveling through life, and there are so many ways. There's not a minute, but we're on a way. There's no avoiding it. You can't, you know, stop and be stationary. No, just as soon as you get up, you're on a way. And all these ways are different. But they're basically divided into two categories. There are ways that are good. That's what we're talking about this morning. Every good path. But the other category is the ways that are not good. Bad paths. Sinful paths. Wicked paths. But that's what we're talking about. We're talking about all these good paths. Every good way. The Lord Jesus Christ was a man of every good path. In fact, I would like you to underline this expression, every good path, and you can write beside it, this was Lord Jesus. Throughout his whole life, he was always on a good path, every good path. That's Christ. So we can see Christ in the text. He never went off these paths as he walked on the horizontal in his Father's will. Not even once. Never once did he go in a way that was not good. That's a wonderful thing to think about, our Lord Jesus. Every step was good. Every direction was good. Every choice of a way was good. He had a good life in the most absolute sense. Now, there were many who sought to get him into a bad way. There was the devil, there was the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Sometimes even his own disciples seemed to be doing that to get him into a bad way. But he never did get into a bad way. All was for Jesus. Every good path. He knew the Proverbs inside out. They helped him in his human life upon the earth. Every good path. That's what the Proverbs is about. Showing us every good path. So he went about doing good. Always. And so you can underline that phrase and think about your blessed Savior. The walk of Jesus. This is the thing, congregation. While we want to be like Jesus, we are not yet perfected to be like him. We fail to keep every good path. Every day we step into some not good path, not good way. And that's why we have to, at the end of the day, confess our sins. Say, Lord, I've went in ways that have not been good today. I've stepped off the good paths. And we have to ask the Lord to forgive us and to cleanse us. Because every good path just hasn't characterized us. All we like sheep have gone astray. And so we have to often seek cleansing from the Lord Jesus. And we need this necklace, this chain, to tie around our necks so that we'll always remember, whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever direction, whatever track I go down today, it has to be a good path. Every good path. And so a disciple is one who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his disciples. And a disciple isn't just a pupil, as I said, who gets knowledge. He's a follower. And he goes in the steps of his master. And his master, that is our Lord Jesus, he goes down every good path. And we have to do the same to follow him. And the book of Proverbs is really the map of all those paths in life. It is a very practical book. In fact, it's probably the most practical book in the Bible. It is a book for our walk and for our life. It's a map for daily living. It's to help you in the choice of every good path. It's parental counsel. It's the words of a father to a child, because the parent wants the child to not go into a bad path. And so the parent counsels the child. And this book is like that. It's so tender. It's so loving, as well as so wise. And I should say to you, it shouldn't be a book that is neglected. Don't neglect it. And it's a book that young people particularly should be interested in. You know, teaching by Proverbs, and I use a small p in this case, I'm speaking of all Proverbs, teaching by Proverbs is not so often done today. But it was the done method of instruction in ancient times, to sit at a master's feet and to write down all these proverbs, all these wise sayings, and to take them home and get them in your heart and think about them, and all the practical jewels for life. This book is like that. It's so useful. Now, modern education, as I say, isn't like this anymore. It's to fill your head with knowledge, to get business and money in life. But this is to fill your heart, to give you a good life, a godly life, a clean, upright life. And for life like that, proverbial instruction is one of the best means. These wise and yet sometimes dark sayings from the lips of the master that stand out. So it's a good method of instruction, and we should use this method of instruction in our own devotional life very often in the study of Proverbs. Proverb is like golden apples in a picture of silver. You set them in frame, you encase them in a jewelry box, and you take them out and you delight in each one, a golden apple. Oh, it's thrilling. So wise, so beautiful, so wonderful. Well, that's what a proverb's like. A golden apple set in silver casing. That's what our young people's minds should be shaped by. So the proverbs are drawing, they're captivating, and you sense and feel their beautiful wisdom. And so God, he's given us a whole book of proverbs. Isn't he so good? Isn't he such a loving father and a wonderful master and teacher, our Savior, that he gives us a whole book of instruction, and we should be thankful, and we should adorn our minds on a regular basis with the reading of the Proverbs. And picture you coming to the Proverbs of, you're just sitting at Jesus' feet and you're just grabbing a golden apple. That's just what it's like. So let that thought transform your reading of Proverbs. You're sitting at your master's feet, the wise master, the ancient master in Israel, and he's giving you these Proverbs. It's so wonderful. We're so blessed to have this book. Solomon wrote most of them, of course. He was the preacher that wrote them. But he is careful, especially in his Ecclesiastes, to tell us that they really come from one great shepherd. And that's the Lord Jesus. And every one of them is like a nail hammered in, and you can hang a lot of parts of your life on that nail. So good. So the Proverbs are very important, especially for you children and young people. You learn them, you read them, you think upon them. Let them mold your life. Let them shape you. We look at them as the wise counsels of our heavenly master. And in his light, we begin to see light for all the paths of life. And so read the book of Proverbs. It is interesting that it is nicely divided into 31 chapters. It's a good practice, and some wise old saints have endeavored to keep this practice of reading a chapter every day. Day 1, chapter 1, day 2, chapter 2, and so on. And so they cover the whole book in a month, and they read it 12 times a year, sitting at the Master's feet every day. Maybe they forget. Maybe they're so busy they just have time for other portions of Scripture and don't get their Proverbs reading done that day. Well, whatever. But on day 7, maybe the Lord will just guide you. Say, now, day 7, come on. Chapter 7 of Proverbs. See, Proverbs is like that. You can dip in anywhere. You can dip in a verse. It's good practice. The Lord has given us the Proverbs. Or, if you like, you could read 3 verses every day. That's not hard. Now, surely you children could read 3 verses every day. Now, I want you to read other parts of the Bible as well. Not neglect the Gospels. Not neglect the wonderful epistles. And all those Psalms, especially there, daily too. 3 Proverbs every day. Surely you could do that. And in less than a year, you'd be through the whole book. And you'd have gone through it at a nice steady pace. And then you can do it the following year, imbibing your mind with the Proverbs, sitting at Jesus' feet, doing what I said to you this morning, learn of me, Jesus said. So I want to encourage the children and the young people especially to let the Proverbs dwell in them richly. They're the words of Christ too. So I suggest you regularly take a verse or two and think upon them. Let us put some jewels in on your chain, every good path. I have several, but the introduction has been so long, I think I'll just give you 2. It's maybe a wee bit bare, the chain this morning, but at least you'll have a chain to wear and there'll be something on it. And to do so, I propose to take the words, not good. So here's a chain, every good path. That's what the child of God should be interested in. Let's put a couple of pearls on that tell us about a path that's not good. The first one that I would draw to your attention is in chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and the verse 2. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Did you see that? Here's a path we must avoid. Here's a way that we must not lazily allow ourselves to be in. The path of soul ignorance. You don't want to be in that path where your soul doesn't have the knowledge that it needs. That's not good. The Christian has to go in the path of soul knowledge. I'm talking about soul knowledge. Very important. The child of God has to be taught of the Lord, has to get knowledge into his soul, and knowledge about his soul, knowledge what his soul needs, and knowledge where it gets all the soul's needs met. Soul knowledge. But the whole world is going in paths. They're not worrying about soul knowledge. People don't even think of their soul today. The unconverted are without understanding. Now, they may be going into university and into great academic places and getting great numbers of letters after their name and all of that there. They can be all of those paths, and not one of those paths is a path of soul knowledge necessarily. The ungodly are like the beasts that perish. The beasts, they don't have a soul. And they don't have knowledge about their soul or knowledge that the soul needs because they don't have a soul. And ungodly people are just like that, as if they don't have a soul. They walk the paths of life. Oh, it's a sorry and pitiful sight. People of great learning and ability. and they live and die like the animals. But you as a Christian must not be like that. You must care for your soul. And you must give to your soul the knowledge of God. So knowledge is important. It's vital. And we have to go on the paths to get that knowledge, you see. Every good path that will lead in that direction, we're to be on. And not certainly on the contrary paths that are away from that. This soul knowledge God has given to us, not only in the Proverbs, that's part of it, and that's what Solomon is referring to partly as well, the soul knowledge that these Proverbs give, but we have the whole Bible for soul knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? You know, it's so good and gracious that God has given us a big book that exhausts us. Wouldn't it be terrible if he was such a master that give us just a few scraps of chapters to have our whole life, just live upon that? It would be so gracious that we even have that much. Oh, but he just drowns us with his word. He gives us the ocean of Holy Scriptures, oceans of truth to swim in. And so he gives us plenty of sources in his word for the knowledge to come into us. God said on one occasion, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He's saying there that, you know, it's an awful thing that my people aren't taught. That my people are not fed. They need the knowledge of the word. So important. Soul knowledge on the paths of life. And God's people, sometimes they get off these paths of soul knowledge. They get off the good paths of feeding on God's word. So God has given us his word, and in that word is soul knowledge, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of ourselves, and what we need to know for life and for death and for heaven and eternity. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we are people to be increasing in the knowledge of God so that we don't perish, so we don't dehydrate, so we don't become barren and dead and lifeless and miserable and unhappy. We must go in the paths of knowledge. And all these paths are a good path in the direction that is good. And there are paths that are not good in this area. The path of a neglected Bible. That's not good. Is your Bible neglected? You're not on a good path if you're neglecting your Bible. No, no. Get onto the good path of Bible reading. That should be away with you daily. And the path of not only reading your Bible, but the good path of praying over your Bible. And praying to the teacher who is in the Bible instructing us, the Lord. They're good paths of going through Scripture, of taking a proverb every day, as we said. Good path, my son. To show you the path of life. It shows you the way of you will be kept and preserved. So you want to go in the path of Bible reading, the path of Bible study, the path of reflection on Holy Scriptures, and this will be the path also of going to where the Bible is taught, to God's house, going to hear his word. It's not a good path if we don't go to hear God's word. And so the preacher has a commission. The preacher is to be wise. Solomon said that. The preacher is to still teach the people. Keep at it. He still taught knowledge. Whatever the discouragements, whatever the difficulty, whatever the smallness of the number, he kept at it. He still taught knowledge. That's what the preacher should be, and that's the kind of preacher you should be going to hear. A preacher who is setting in order the many proverbs of God's word. Ecclesiastes 12 and all of that. So the preacher is to do this, and he has to bring to you the path of knowledge. Part of your choosing the good paths will be going to God's house to hear his word. They're called the paths of the flock. You read about the paths of the flock in the word of God. Where are the paths of the flock leading to? Well, they're leading to the shepherd, they're leading to the word, they're leading to the green pastures, they're leading to the feeding grounds, they're leading to God's house to hear his word. And you're on a good path today. You're on the path of the flock into God's house to hear his word and to get this soul knowledge. So this is a good path. And the path of carefully listening. You can follow the path into God's house, but as you sit there, you may go on another path of distraction, another path about thinking about tomorrow. No, you have to carefully go in the path of listening and giving your whole attention. Even sitting there, you're in a path now. Are you in the path of listening to the preacher as he brings God's word? Are you in the path of, my mind's just straight away? Even in God's house, you can be in a path that's not good in regard to this matter of knowledge. The Lord Jesus went in every good path that led to knowledge. Thy word is within my heart, he said. The Bible says, we're speaking about the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he grew in stature. He was a little boy. He grew up to be a tall man. But the Bible also says he grew in wisdom. How did he grow in wisdom? Well, he went to the synagogue. He heard God's word read. He didn't have a Bible himself, you know. There were no Bibles that people could privately own in those days, unless you were really, really wealthy. He wasn't wealthy. He had to go and hear the Bible read, had to get it into his heart, had to go to the synagogue. Whenever he went up to the temple in Jerusalem, at times he would be there with the doctors asking questions. He was in every good path in this regard. So he grew in wisdom, and we are to follow him in our childhood and youth, and even in our old age. So that's one pearl. Proverbs 25, verse 27. This is a strange one, you may think. Proverbs 25, verse 27. It's not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. Now honey is lovely. It's sweet. But you can't live on honey. You can't eat honey morning, noon and night. It would make you sick. You wouldn't last long. Your digestive system would just go to ruin. And so you can't eat much honey. You can't live on it. It's sweet and pleasant. And in Solomon's day, there weren't, you know, toffee bars and chocolate. The sweetness was the honey. Marvelous gift of God. The golden honey from the beautiful bees. It is a marvelous gift. But you can't live in sweets. You know, some people try today to live on sweet stuff. It's not good to eat sweet stuff too much. Self-control. Healthy eating. Not a path of self-indulgence and just, you know, delighting your sweet and selfish appetite all day long. It's not a good path. But I don't want you to think this is just about eating and diet. It's not about eating and diet. God is speaking of the mind. He is speaking of the soul. What our soul delights in, what we find sweet. What we enjoy, what gives us pleasure. And so it's limited by this word, so. It is not good to eat much honey. So for men to search their own glory is not glory. It's not good. To exalt yourself, to promote yourself, to think you're wonderful, you're sweet, to just think about yourself and what you'll indulge today. That's not the glory of a man. To live for his own glory and for himself. So he's speaking about what you glory in, what you delight in, what you spend your time thinking about. Are you self-indulgent? Do you search out your own glory? You go down those paths all the time. They're not good. So that's what God means by eating too much honey. Seeking your own good, your own pleasure. The paths of self-promotion. The paths of what I can do to get noticed, to achieve. Thinking of your accomplishments, showing off your knowledge, boasting, highlighting yourself. You know, if some people had said if they were a chocolate bar, they'd eat themselves. I think that's maybe true of us all to some extent. Our big self is so important. And it's often so sweet to us. And sometimes we even might think, I'm smart, I'm brilliant. I can do this and nobody can do it like me. And all those other people, they just don't know how to do it. Do we think like that? Do we have a big ego about ourselves? Indulging in this honey? Well, those are bad paths. Not good. Don't be proud. Don't be pushing yourself forward. Don't be trusting in your wealth and in your money and in your ability. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches that the Bible talks about. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Don't go down those paths, but in lowliness, in humbleness of mind, let each esteem everybody else better than themselves. This is what the Bible tells us. So there are all these proud paths, these evil paths, and there are so many, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the eyes of eyes of lust and all the rest, the eyes of the heart, all these paths that are not good. We want to go the paths that glorify God. Man's chief end is to glorify God, and every good path is that path. A path that is glorifying God. And so we should say, not unto us, O Lord, but unto thy name give glory, exalting him. You know, the sweetest one is God. And he is honey that we can never get sick of. And we can never have too much of. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And you can partake of him all the day long. And glory in him and delight in him and indulge in his gospel and in his word and in his grace. Those are good paths. So not one of indulging in the things of the world, but in God. Sweet and delightful he is. And there's no danger of having, as I said, too much of him. You can eat the heavenly honey of the gospel to all excesses. And that's a good path. If you're glorying in Christ and glorying in the cross and glorying in the Lord. Oh, may the Lord often bring us down those paths. Remember, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the glory of a man. That's a man of God who's not, delighting in his achievements and what he's accomplished and what he's doing, but just glorying in Christ and in the cross work of such a wonderful Savior. that no flesh should glory in his presence. But according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, in the Lord. So all these paths where we enjoy God, we delight in God, we exalt God, the Lord Jesus never went down a path of self and selfish indulgence. You know, we see him bearing the cross to Calvary. But you know, all his life he bore the cross. Remember John the Baptist saw him at the start of his ministry? Behold the Lamb of God which beareth the sin of the world. He's not self-indulgent. He's not eating the honey of the flesh and of the world. No, he's living and walking every path for the glory of God. And he's bearing and carrying the sins of his people. Every good path. And we are to bear our cross daily. Not to eat too much honey daily. So he was humble. He was always on this path of God's glory. It was his meat and drink to glorify his Father and to do his will. That was his delight, wasn't it? Doing good to others. That was Jesus. That was his great pleasure. He gave himself for us. Every good path. For the glory of God and the good of his church. And those are the paths we should choose. Is this for the glory of God? And is this for the good and edification of the body of my Saviour? May the Lord bless his word to your hearts for Christ's sake. Amen.